grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Coming to you live from the Mucamato Auction in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Dudes and Beers.
It has begun. The action has begun officially for us to be able to sit down here and make sure that all these cars come through. We'd like to give a very special thanks to the Mucamato Auctions, David Morton with Media Relations, who always gives us great frontline seats, things like that, as well as fantastic behind-the-scenes access and interviews. We'd like to thank the Mecum family and crew for allowing us to be here and up close and personal. We are literally about 8 feet away from where they are rolling the cars past this morning, and to be able to see all this stuff come through is absolutely amazing. We have with us today, of course, the illustrious Stephen Bishop, as always, as well as local host Randy Jordan.
Hey.
And our good new friend, Julie Connolly, is with us. She made her first road trip with Dudes and Beer.
What's up?
Welcome, Julie.
Thank you.
We've also got Pops Davis, who is a previous guest from past episode.
Gotta love it.
From the Dallas area, and he made it down. He's actually a former tune head. He used to gear up cars and make cars and do all that kind of fun stuff. So he is our resident gearhead for the day. And you know, we're gonna have a whole lot of fun. Pops, tell us a little bit. These guys have been out while Stephen and I were setting up. These guys have been out exploring around. Tell us a little bit about tell us a little bit about what you've been seeing out there, Pop.
Well, I tell you what, it's any car show is just full of memorabilia. You know, when I go out there, I'm looking at these 50s, 60s cars that I grew up with, and each car reminds me of a friend and what we were doing, who we were doing, what we were drinking. these cars just bring back, I mean, every car in here could bring back a certain memory for me.
Oh, sure.
That's lived with me all my life, you know?
Yeah.
It's an incredible cars, too.
What's been your favorite that you've seen so far? I mean, y'all had a chance to walk around. We had a chance to come and kind of preview a lot of this yesterday. But just in the little bit that y'all got to go and walk around, what's been your favorite so far?
Well, I'm guessing the 62 Vet back over here that is a car that I always wanted to own.
Yeah.
Almost did own, but my daddy said, no, you kill yourself.
You're already a dangerous human being.
The one that got away, right? The one you wish you had.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I had so many cars that have gotten away that you just, they get old and you get tired of them, and then all of a sudden, gosh, you wish you had them back. Back when you buy a car for a good muscle car for $3,400,
right? Yeah,
and go tear it up. Gasoline was still like 28 cents a gallon. You know,
yeah. Back when it didn't matter if you had a 20-gallon tank.
Yeah,
just,
right.
Just blow and go.
Well, there's always a place to get gas, so
yeah,
we just roll with it.
Well, and I'm actually interested to hear Julie's take, because I remember whenever I first mentioned it to Julie, she was like, I guess I'll go, because I'm like the marketing person and I should really go and be there. And then she started looking at it online and was like, I'm actually really excited to go to this. Tell us about what you've seen so far, Julie. What's been your experience?
So my favorite was a pink Chevelle. I don't remember what year it was, but it was super pink and very sparkly. really liked that one. But also, I was looking at this little 51 Roadster convertible, and I was talking to a cleaning lady, and all of these guys came around because they thought that I had bought the car. And so that was pretty cool that they thought I had bought a $100,000 car, because I was looking at it with somebody in a Mecum shirt, so they thought that I was like cleaning it or about to take it home. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wish. But so it's been a lot of fun, and everybody's been super friendly. The cars are awesome. I really like, there's a vintage fire truck. It's
The fire truck. Vintage fire truck. I love seeing the fire trucks and stuff like that whenever they're on here. It's so cool.
We did a little video work yesterday, Chris, and we got that fire truck on there. That's a nice looking fire truck.
Yeah, yeah, no, the thing's awesome looking. And, you know, Steve was actually a first timer. The first Mecum that we did was the first auto show period that he'd ever been to. So, what's your experience been like, Steve, just walking around Mecum and seeing this
Well, I certainly do have a new appreciation for these type vehicles, you know, and they're beautiful, man. And, I mean, just experiencing all these nice, collectible, vintage cars all in one area, it's really something, man, I tell you. And, you know, I might not know a whole lot about engines and stuff, but, man, I got a lot of favorites out there, I can tell you that much. I got a whole lot that I like out here, you know. And, man, if I had the money, I'd be bidding.
That was a green Barracuda that rolled down here earlier.
Oh, that Barracuda.
That was fine. That was fine.
Yeah. And it's, you know, probably one of my favorite things about this show is just right here, coming right by us. It's just the fact that there are kids, there are families, there are so many people that are walking around. Really a generational thing. You even brought Andrew today. My nephew Andrew.
Yeah.
I like this vehicle pulling up. Check out the guy driving it.
So cool. It's a vintage taxi. It looks like a gangster car.
Yeah, right.
They still use those in London.
Oh, really? Seriously?
Yeah, right. Wow. Yeah, that's a classic taxi over in England.
Yeah. And, it's actually got the four-hire thing on it.
Like some Al Capone would be driving around in.
Yeah.
Right.
Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, it's really kind of strange the type of cars, the European cars there are compared to American iron.
Yeah.
They're so much more downscaled, smaller, and but not necessarily, there's still quality craftsmanship, but just the difference between the models, our U.S. iron, big.
Yeah, right. We're all about big, right?
Yeah, we're all about big. And these other guys were all about economy.
Yeah.
And class.
We got more room to park those big things.
Yeah, we do, just a little bit.
So, look at that bad boy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a beautiful Z28.
Oh,
man. Oh, dang, I don't have my lot.
Yeah, what year is that one?
What lot number is that? Somebody tell us what lot number.
That's a 69.
Okay. Oh, that is lot number S18 for those of you.
Yeah,
for those of you listening in, tuning in online, please make sure to go check out Mecum Auto Auctions online. You can see all the cars that are here today. You can also check out NBC Sports. Anytime that they have the Mecum Auto Auction going on live, our good friend John Kramen, who's been on the show, is out there doing the voice of NBC Sports. They've got roving reporters out here. Great, great, awesome. High impact coverage. A couple years ago, we used it in our promo video on Facebook. A couple years ago, they actually had that 71 CUDA I was showing you last night. It was one of the only two in the world with matching serial numbers, and it sold for like $3.5 million.
Wow.
You know, something insane like that. It was crazy.
That was two of a 1971 Roadrunner. It was a CUDA.
Yeah, it was the Hemi CUDA. That was a prototype. Only two were made.
Yeah, only two were made because, you know, back in 70, they started all their... their emissions and different ways of doing your compressions and this, that, and the other. So those two are probably ordered the year before, special ordered, and then came
that's
to,
how
to
that
the
came
market.
About,
and that's
huh?
probably how it came about. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of nostalgia.
Ooh, look at this one.
Oh yeah.
Look at that Thunderbird.
Nice. The hardtop T-bird.
Ooh.
Absolutely gorgeous.
My remembrance of this car is back when I was a baby and my mom's taking me to go see the movies that about the beach and all of that. Here's a 1957 T-Bird.
Yeah.
That she, yeah, that's exactly. The car of her dreams.
Yep.
Was a 1957 T-Bird convertible.
So
that's the memory I have of that. And I've always wanted to buy her one, but never could afford it.
Was it like one of those Frankie and Annette movies or something like that?
Yeah.
Right. Little beach blanket bingo action.
Beautiful car.
And the fun thing about Mecum is the fact that it's not just cars. Like, set up right here down the hall from us, typically on Saturday morning, one of the first things that they do, I think they did it yesterday morning, though, was a memorabilia auction. And they actually sell, like, vintage gas pumps. They sell old road signs, old gas signs, tires.
Oh, cool. Well, there's a little section not too far from us, Chris. I think they forgot that right there.
Oh, yeah. And our friend Sean Tajapur is set up right down there from West Houston Muscle. We'll be talking to him later on today. I know Dave Morton has some interviews for us that he's busy lining up right now and trying to find people's free time. To bring us to talk to some of the insiders here at Mecum. And we do have a guy that we talked to yesterday that hopefully we will be able to get on to talk about the process. He's here individually selling his classic truck, which goes up for sale at 3. So we'll point that out whenever it comes by.
Nice.
But, here comes a beauty. Here.
Ooh, look at this one here.
I mean, the Mercedes is nice. I like all the new cars.
Right.
They're sharp, you know. They're definitely distinguished, but I don't know. There's something about the lines of the classics that really get me.
Yeah.
Especially the old roadster cars, like you were saying a while ago, the old English taxis, things like that. Like, I'm a sucker for a Duesenberg, you know, stuff, those kind of things. But even pulling up right here behind the Mercedes is just...
Ooh, I'll take that one.
Absolutely.
I gorgeous. Like that.
No, I like that truck that's behind it.
Ooh, that's cool,
oh,
too.
Yeah, the Chevy?
Uh-huh. Although I think it's just meant to look old, but it's pretty
cool.
Oh,
no. That came out right up around the same time as the...
Still like that.
The nice PT Cruiser that you used to own, where everybody was kind of... And at the same time, we just saw a T-Bird go by. That was the same time that Thunderbird went back to that body design. And went back to the rounded headlights and the elongated body, shorter, squatter, more of a coupe style T-Bird. And there was this whole vintage rebirth that happened in the early 2000s with American automotive design. And it was really kind of cool to see, and it's really rebirthed a lot of the American muscle car with the Challenger, the
right,
Dart.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. And it's an interesting setup right outside, speaking of which, is the new Dodge SRTs, the sports tracks. They are just, oh my God, they're amazing.
Oh, they're out there doing the drifting and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, they're out there doing it, but it's a thrill ride, so you can go out and sign a waiver and hop into the passenger seat and go out and go
make
drift
sure
driving
that
with
waiver,
professional
though.
Drifters. It's just... It's crazy sauce, you know. It's pretty intense.
I bet that'll get your blood flowing.
Yeah. Exactly. Now,
try doing that up Pike's Peak.
No.
Whoa.
Exactly.
We raced up there for 10 years.
And tell us a little bit about that, because you used to actually build cars and race. And give us a little bit about it, your background and your gearheadness there, Pop.
Gearheadness. Well, I was kind of like a gearhead coming out of high school. And, went to the trade school for it. Soon found that I could probably make a living. I wasn't smart enough. So, then, of course, life happens. And you get away from it for a while. And then I did a little track racing in my younger days. And then we started drag racing. So we drag raced. We built a 67 Camaro big chassis. 598 cubic inch motor.
Ooh, that's a big motor.
Had a lot of fun. Just it was a rush every time you lifted the button.
Absolutely.
1,000 horsepower or so. And it was a rush going through a telephone pole at 133 miles an hour.
So, I was just going to ask you if you've ever wrecked in one, you know.
Yeah, I totaled that one. Pretty much complete. Hit it dead square.
But it didn't stop you, right?
I was out of track. Yeah. Oh, hell no, I didn't stop you.
Pops.
That was, like, you know, like a $150,000 hit, so...
Holy shit.
So then we kind of backed off. My stepson wanted to race Pike's Peak. Well, the cheapest way to race Pike's Peak was on a four-wheeler, a quad. So he got a Yamaha 450, and we tricked it out, and he went up there, and we started racing Pike's Peak, which is a thrill. It's a real thrill.
I bet. That sounds awesome.
So then the quads just weren't getting fast enough, you know. 70, 80 miles an hour just wasn't fast enough up the hill. So we built a 240 SX with a 240 cc four cylinder. Put turbo on it. Actually had it tuned to 500 horsepower. Little car. We stripped it out, and we had a great time racing that for several years. So, you know, that's after that. I mean, I've always been a machinist, a mechanic, a welder. So everything just kind of came to me naturally to build stuff.
Yeah, just a natural progression from one to the other, from the interest to having the skills to make it happen.
Yeah,
and, right. You know, while you're here, I did happen to notice as we were coming in that Big Red was set up.
Whoa, we got to get those guys
outside.
Back on.
So, yeah, we got to go out and talk to Big Red Racing and try to get those guys on the show. They actually race Pike's Peak.
Yeah.
They are the world's fastest 69 Camaro. So you got to go out and meet those guys.
And didn't I hear right, Chris, that last time they raced Pike's Peak, the car burned down?
Right after Pike's Peak.
Right after.
They were doing some qualifying races, and it blew up. Like, they literally blew up the engine and had some nasty.
But are they now in
like the whole car burned down? Like, it's been a complete year rebuild. It happened like a week or so after Meekin last year. You know, but. It's just interesting meeting people like that this is their passion, this is what they do, and they've chosen something that, you know, like I've told people so many times, especially whenever you get into classic car realm, you better know something about engines or how to turn a wrench or have a really, really good buddy that does.
Yeah, that's always a good plan.
You're not going to find somebody in here like that doesn't know, I don't think, you know?
No, you will. You will.
Julie doesn't.
Well, I mean, like...
Sorry, a wrench now?
Yeah. What'd you call me?
Yeah. What
kind of wrench was that?
What kind of wrench? The one that turns.
The screwdriver?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
Loosen stings.
I'm at a loss.
I know what a flathead is.
All right. Well, on your way. Yeah.
These guys take a lot of time and effort to rebuild these things.
Oh, you can see the love in them.
Parts are,
It's like a lot of time, money, hard work, and passion, you know?
Yeah. Parts are harder and harder to come by for the old iron. You've got to really dig, and that's the reason why the prices are what they are for good old Detroit iron.
Yeah.
This newer stuff, you know, the technology is a double-edged sword. Back in the good old days, you had a set of points, and if you had a battery and fire and gasoline, you'd make anything run.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably only need about a dozen tools to work on the thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Simple. You wanted more horsepower, you built more cubic inch. You know.
Yeah. You bored it out.
So, and today, with the technology that they have, we can tune these engines to incredible horsepowers. We could not have done that back in the day. And I like it, but I don't like it. Because building drag cars, I mean, that's just pure go for as many cubes as you can get.
As much horsepower, right?
Horsepower and torque as you can get. And then they come out with these smaller motors.
Yep.
More nitrous, you know. Ooh. Being able to time everything electronically to, you know, milliseconds to give it just incredible power.
It kind of became a real science at that point, kind of, in a way.
Yeah, it is a science.
Well, especially now that you're getting into composite materials, ceramic engines, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's becoming more and more common to see that kind of thing in a modern vehicle that's coming out, you know, ceramic heads, all kinds of stuff. But yeah, you're hard pressed as a tinkerer to be somebody who can go out.
Which one is making that
sound? You just hear the engines
there,
over here.
Yeah.
It sounds beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're hard pressed to find somebody.
I think that's that Ferrari down there.
Oh yeah.
Was making all the noise.
Yeah, somebody wanted to show off.
It's like, I'm new and shiny. Pay attention to me, even though I'm not as pretty as these older
exactly.
cars.
Hey, look at me. I'm over here.
Yeah, I got lines. Look at me. But yeah, it's interesting. You don't find as many people that sit in their garage and necessarily tinker with their car so much as they customize it now. You know, a lot more of the stuff has gone to body packages and that kind of thing, as opposed to really tweaking the engine and doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and being old school, I'd rather tweak the motors, the carburetors, timing, and all that myself.
Yeah.
The electronic stuff, if I was a lot younger, I'd probably try to figure it out then. I'm not that good with electricity. Anyway, so.
Yeah. I don't play with
computers,
cars. I worked in a shop and I can change my oil. I'll typically pay the $15 extra so I can be like, "Hey, dude, you jacked up my oil change." I'm all about giving somebody a job. We've
got this Lamborghini right here in front of us.
That would be a Ferrari.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ferrari.
That's
sorry about that.
That's all right.
And that's and that's the one that was revving, I'm sure.
There you go. See, Julie knows.
Oh, Julie beat
me. Julie knows. Yeah,
I love that red interior, man.
Oh,
that's sharp looking.
Yeah, nice red leather. Oh, yeah.
I think it was this Ford GT that was making all the noise.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Those are just beautiful cars. They've always got at least one GT that comes through the auction.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there are two or three here this year. I know I saw a couple here yesterday.
We really have the best seat in the house here.
Oh, we do. Like I said,
and
we have to once again thank David Morton, because he makes it like we will be doing some walk around. We will be doing some man on the street
stuff.
Yeah,
he keeps passing by. He's a busy man.
But, he is nonstop all day. And he's the media relations guy. He's the one that sets us up and is like, listen, power is really scarce, but I'll make sure that we get you set up somewhere good,
yeah,
somewhere where people can see you. You know,
it's customer service.
Somewhere where you can see the cars,
second to
and
none.
See all the action going on. So, yeah. And oh yes, look
ooh.
At this. Here is the re-release of the Shelby
ooh.
That came out a few years ago. That is just absolutely gorgeous. I love that one. I saw
like
that
it's
yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Is it technically missing a grill, or is it like that?
On occasion, they remove the grill to make sure it doesn't get messed up.
True. We've seen a lot of that.
That's why you see a lot of
the
X's on gas tanks.
Yeah,
and
the gas tank.
Like that,
the actual.
To make sure the emblems, classic and vintage emblems,
yeah.
don't get messed up. That kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. I took some good pictures of that one yesterday. And if you want to see the pictures that we're talking about, folks, we have made them all accessible. Feel free to go to dudesandbeer.com, photos, and under the photos page, you'll see a subpage there that is literally, you'll see Meekum Houston 2017, and... Whenever you see that, click it. You'll see a slideshow that is everything that we're taking, everything that we're talking about right now. You'll see all the pictures that we're taking. You'll be able to keep up with the action live that happens throughout the day. So
there's actually a video I caught just prior to the show coming on a while ago. It's a really good video of the opening.
Oh, yeah.
And people dancing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, it's awesome.
It is high energy here at Meekum Auto Auction.
And a light
like
show.
I said, we'll get to walk around in a bit and have man on the street. We'll have somebody in there with all the bidding action. But it is full tilt boogie whenever they go live. It is flash and trash all over the
it's
place.
It's like full of energy, man. It's intense, dude.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really intense.
And it's hard not to. Pop came up even before we started and was like, look at that. Like you can see because engines were starting and fumes were coming through the air. You can see the goosebumps on his arm. It's a visceral moment. It is literally a barrage on all senses whenever you come to something like this because the smell of octane is in the air. You get to walk past the SRT exhibit outside and it smells like burning rubber. Like they're out there changing tires all day long, you know, because they're just peeling through rubber. I feel for the guy that has to clean that up and has to like regrade the concrete.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
Because there's just going to be three huge like quarter-inch thick donuts of rubber just embedded on the concrete out there.
Doing donuts all in that one little area.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you'd like to chat with us while we are live on air, please do make sure to go to the Google Play Store, go to the Android Store, download the Dudes and Beer app, and you can tune in live to us all day long. We'll be doing about hour-long sessions, then doing some live stuff to YouTube, Facebook, going around and taking photo bucket pictures, that kind of stuff, to give complete coverage of this whole event. But we'll be here until 5 o'clock, giving you at least hour-long episodes
yes.
as we go through everything that is the Meekum Auto Auction. And like I said, it's so much more than cars. It's family. It's tradition. The Meekum family themselves has been into collecting automobiles and into the automotive tradition for a good 30-something years. And they just started the auctions not too long ago, and it's amazing the popularity that they have. Like Randy was saying before the show, or I guess last night while we were hanging out, he was like, I want to go to the farm auction. There is actively a farm auction
yeah.
that they have that's old farm equipment, old John Deere tractors.
Where's that again at? In Ohio, right?
I want to say Ohio or
yeah.
Nebraska.
Right.
Something like that.
It was Kentucky.
It may be Kentucky. Sometimes these events float around. Like it was in Austin. They had a Meekum in Austin last year. And then it ended up not doing it in Austin.
Man, that blue Cobra that just went by, I like that, man.
Yeah, yeah, that is the Cobra reissue. That is not an actual original.
I'll take
Cobra.
A reissue.
That's a 2012
you know,
reissue.
I don't care if it's the first one, but I'll take it.
Yeah. It was.
I also want this car.
Yeah.
This one here reminds me of like Bonnie and Clyde.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
cool, like little back seat that's open.
Yep. Yeah, the rumble seat in the back.
Look how pretty that
gray.
Is.
Uh-huh. Oh, the colors.
Color.
The yeah, colors that's are absolutely gray.
I like the color tone or whatever. It's.
I can't get in pictures. I'm too far away on the table. We've got a selfie stick somewhere.
It's over there. I took it out.
Oh, okay.
Or yeah. Randy took it out.
Look at that.
We had a chance to sit back and barbecue and kind of prepare ourselves for what is Mecum last night and just kind of go over some of the vehicles.
So that thing in the back there, that's where they sit in the back seat?
Yeah, that is a rumble seat. Rumble seat. You open it up and...
Yeah, you're going to rumble all right, I bet, if you go
right.
Yeah, right over the wheel well like that.
Exactly.
Do some rumble, rumble.
Yeah.
It's pretty and green.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Oh, yeah. These are actually some of the cars from the LaQuay collection out of Florida. And these were the cars that were set up right as you walked in.
Yeah, and I forgot their
names.
There
was a whole row of them. And we did a video yesterday live to YouTube.
The hood ornaments are
Facebook.
Awesome.
The hood ornaments are absolutely beautiful.
This one here is like, what is that, a duck or something? Or
some
yes.
kind of bird. It's a work of art all on its own.
Yeah, well, and that's just it. Like, most of the, like, at this point, whenever you bought a vehicle, sure, there was a hood ornament that came with it, or at least an emblem. But if you had the money, you paid for custom hood ornaments. And sometimes there would be, like, so much that they were maybe only, like, 10 or 15 of them cast. You know, it was absolutely amazing. And
hey, Pops, is that a Packard? Is that what that is?
I think
it might be a Packard.
It's not a LaSalle. What is that?
Trying to read the little words. No, they say
that's
Oakland.
That's a 1931 Oakland.
Oakland.
Oh, the Oakley.
Oakland. Yes, the Oakland.
But it was by the front door by the Packers, though.
But
yesterday.
Yeah, they were all over there together in the LaQuay collection. And that's the one thing that I love about Mecum is that they get together with some of the biggest collectors in the country. And this is my third time to Mecum, our third time as Dudes and Beer as well. Fourth time to Mecum, third time with Dudes and Beer. And I have to tell you, folks, you're going to see some action if you tune into NBC Sports right now. I have not seen this many yellow no reserve stickers on this many vehicles.
Hundreds.
Yeah, like every, easily two out of three cars at this auction today are no reserve.
Look at that
and,
one.
For those of you, there's the LaSalle I was talking about.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew it was coming up.
Wow, that's a beautiful car.
And for those of you that aren't aware, that don't shop eBay, that don't do the whole auction thing, no reserve basically means that you could put your paddle up and you could say $15. You could start the bidding at anything. And most people have more common sense and don't raise their paddle at something like this and say $15. But it does happen.
You gotta start somewhere.
It does happen. You gotta start somewhere. And you tend to get a lot more action, you know.
I'll buy that $4.
Scare people away whenever, you know, they're maybe maxed out at like 25 and somebody's reserve is like 27 on a car, you know, and it's like, I'd like to put a bid in on it, but I don't even have anywhere to wiggle into a bid.
Yeah, Chris, why don't you fill out that nice little credit form that was by the front door?
I considered it. I considered it again this year, but I don't know. I don't know. With Dalvis coming and everything else, I don't think right now.
I'm
these
sure.
These are maybe not the most practical
cars. If I could suspend the car from some springs at my tree or something and you could, like, bounce in it, that'd be cool.
Can you imagine you driving one of these cars in your neighborhood, you'd be baller.
Yeah, no, I would never, ever have one of these cars in my neighborhood.
You get some custom Dudes and Beer paint on it.
That would never happen.
That's right.
Oh, yeah,
only
maybe
if
not.
I can
you
get,
could keep it at my house.
Only
okay.
if I can get Dudes and Beer blue. That's right.
You can make that happen.
Yeah,
you can make that happen.
Yeah. Well, something tells me if I get one of these cars, I could probably afford to have it painted any way I want.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Right.
I saw one over in one of the rooms that went out on Friday that was a custom paint job, and it was like all of these skeletons that were dancing on the side.
That's kind
of
cool.
And
I like that.
Like, it was beautiful work, but that's a very specific audience there. Yeah, like, yeah. That runs a big gamble to go to an auction with something that specific. Like, not a lot of people are going to want to run around with dancing skeletons on the side of their car, you know?
Because you might like that particular car, but then you've got that real particular paint job now on it. Yeah, who would want that?
I mean, some people, and it was beautifully done. You could tell the craftsmanship was impeccable, but not for everybody.
Yeah, the striping on this is absolutely gorgeous.
Look how shiny this one is.
Hey.
Shiny
black. Well, I like how shiny it is.
Just so you know, actually comes from the people at 303 over there. They have teamed up with Mikum. They're at all their events, and they are... like a professional detailing company.
They keep the fingerprints completely off.
Yeah. I mean, and they have some of the most state-of-the-art waxes, polishes, you know, Insta-Sheen, stuff like that that you could ever imagine. And the guys that work with them are just magicians. You see them probably, but the cars they're taking care of, probably about every 15, 20 minutes afterward, they are coming by with a diaper and just wiping down and just glazing over, you know, and it's an all-day process. You'll see one 303 guy amongst, like, five or six cars, and he's just wiping them down
all
day.
All day long.
Now, they don't actually use a diaper, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do?
They use a diaper or a chamois cloth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, cloth diaper is one of the most gentle things that you can put against a car.
I guess so.
It leaves no residue, things don't fall off of it that'll scratch like a towel. It's not a rough surface. Good enough.
Microfiber?
It's probably what their gloves are made of, something similar to.
I would say microfiber.
Yeah, no, their gloves are definitely microfiber. You can tell. They're kind of satiny to the touch.
It's not a tight fit to the hand.
That's a tough one-man push.
Yeah, sure is. A heavy car.
That guy's about 85 pounds wet.
Wow.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
They are the heroes of Mikum. The car pushers and drivers, guys.
Yeah, there are no composite pieces on that thing.
No, there is total 100% metal. There is nothing but steel construction underneath that solid steel body.
One dude's not pushing that unless you're going downhill.
He made a noble effort in about three different hardcore pushing positions to be like, Sisyphus.
I wonder what it would be equivalent
to help
today.
Now.
Yeah. It's not happening.
Today's vehicles, how many would it take to equal that
on weight? Look at that. It's got the actual wood frame on the canopy.
Depends.
Leather,
it's a Toyota.
The work on these cars, and I'm so happy that I get to sit here and see these, because these are my favorites. I love watching, like, look at this old Ford pickup coming through
now. Oh, I didn't see that yesterday.
Like, how did you not see that yesterday?
I don't know.
It's got one of the coolest friggin' hood ornaments.
Yeah, it does. Like
the woodwork in the back of that thing is absolutely top-notch. It's beautiful from head to toe. It's got the original Firestone white walls on it.
Wonder what a white wall would look like on my Ford Escape.
You should totally get some walls for your Escape.
It looked tight.
Get you some moons for
some wire, some wire wheels.
Get you some half moons.
You know what you need?
You need the white walls with the outlaws. Get you some outlaws out there.
I don't know what that is.
They're the ones that are like just solid metal. They look just like riveted solid metal. You see them on like hardcore muscle cars.
That would be great on a 2015 Escape.
That'd be sick.
Totally.
Yeah.
On them Novas.
Get them in some 19s.
Right?
I have to have your wheel wells taken out.
It's hard to get white walls in 19 inch, though.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much sold on the white walls now. That's going to happen.
Okay. All right.
To match my white car.
Absolutely.
It'll elevate me from the other soccer mom cars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're about halfway through our first hour of coverage here, and right here is one of my personal favorites, the Stutz Bearcat. We got a great Stutz out here with the Bearcat engine in it. They had it open up yesterday, and it was, I mean, the pin work on it, the pinstriping is absolutely gorgeous. Like, every flute on the grill of the side is pinstriped individually.
Sure is.
It's just, the detail of work that went into these things is, they are literally rolling works of art.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me how well taken care of they are.
Was this like a cop car or something? Why does it have that light on it?
Oh, the hunting light was an option. I mean...
this one, yeah.
Yeah.
Lights weren't that bright at the time. Those headlights that you see are really about as bright as your average, like, bulb flashlight from the grocery store. They're going to maybe...
Like an Edison light?
Yeah, they're gonna maybe go about 15, 20 feet in front of your car. That's about the max. So
you better have some good eyes.
Yeah, you got the other light to be able to see further. It's got a little bit more reflectivity to it.
Wasn't there a time back in the day where, you know... Because the lights weren't that great back then, where after dark, people really just considered not going anywhere. It was kind of like, don't drive after dark.
Well,
because,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, in 1922, that's probably all the light you needed.
Yeah.
On a car.
Yeah.
That's true.
You weren't going that fast.
Right.
Yeah.
You weren't going that fast. Yeah.
Maybe 25.
Well, no, you'd be going.
Just like hang a lantern on your car.
You'd be going about 45, 50 at a good clip. I think 65 was about the land speed record close to that time.
Jeez.
But, yeah.
Do that every day and then some.
Yeah, here's this V8 that came through yesterday. And just
the green
whims on that.
Uh-huh.
See, I like that.
I might be rethinking just the white wall now. I might want some colorful rims and the white wall.
Yeah.
Look how pretty that is.
I'm going to have the best Ford Escape ever.
Right. Get some pinstriping done.
I think I already do. It came with some stuff that was just already on the
lot. You need the wire wheels. You need the wire wheels and the white walls. No, you need to go total retro.
Go all out.
Pretty interesting paint scheme with the
green. Yeah.
The green.
Oh, the green's a nice pop. That's
cool. I like
cool.
it. With I'm thinking like a little sparkle pink instead would be fantastic.
You might be right. Yeah. I don't like the green on the black there.
But imagine pink with a little shimmer with the black. That would pop.
Oh, sparkly.
Yeah.
That's my favorite color, sparkly.
That's hers, too. So you don't like that green with the black?
It wouldn't be my first choice. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of the Green Lantern.
They kind of refer back to it, though, with the pinstriping.
That's what I was going to say.
Back in the day, it'd be the Green Hornet.
Kind of. Pinstriping is really kind of sweet. I like the pinstriping, but without the wheels, you would barely even notice the pinstriping.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, like still got the tire strapped on with the leather strap to the side. It's great.
That's just a beautiful car.
It is, and that's just it. You know, you look at the design, the function, the form of vehicles from this era, from this time. You know, it's absolutely amazing to see the history that gets to roll in front of you.
It's a fine Thunderbird.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have to fight each other for the Thunderbird.
Here's another hard-top Thunderbird coming through.
It was about to get close.
What would you say? That's a copper color on that Thunderbird? Is that what that is?
I would say kind of a...
it's got a little mauve to it, but copper is pretty apt.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's almost like a metallic pastel. It's interesting. It's like almost like a flesh tone.
Like a rosé?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, like a rosé.
Yeah.
Yeah, metallic rosé.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Y'all hit it.
Metallic rosé.
Yeah.
You break out my L'Oreal color wheel, I'll find find the right color.
Yes.
Yeah. Pairs well with a nice cheese.
Yeah, right?
Right. I think any of these cars would pair well with a nice cheese. Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine getting one of these cars and never ever putting it on the road. if I got one of this quality.
True.
But that is the
but
cool
you
thing.
You gotta show people.
Well, that's the cool thing about Mecum is that there are actually cars here that are like in the affordable range.
Totally. Yeah. I saw one that I fell in love with that is hasn't met the reserve of 20,000 yet, so it's still hanging out from yesterday, and it's beautiful. Yep. So I texted it to my husband, and I was like, do you have $20,001? Yeah. So I'm waiting to hear back, guys, but stay tuned. I might buy a truck.
That's right. Liam, just so you know, this is not where your car is coming from.
No, Liam already knows. He's got a 1997 BMW convertible coming at him next
All
week.
All right.
Good. Nice.
Okay. Yeah, I remember Randy got his first car from an event like this. My dad got him we went to the Houston Auto Show, which is actually happening concurrently.
Yeah, right next door.
I can attest to that because I accidentally walked in there first.
Wow. Yeah, and we were walking around and he saw this 64 Falcon. That was one of his first cars. And just a great price, and ended up talking to the guy, and it never even went through auction. And I think they took it through the auction line, but we're like, sorry, folks, it's already been
sold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like it whenever they turn the lights on and stuff. Oh, it's a beautiful Stingray coming up. Another one from the LaQuay collection. I think we've got a few collections coming up today.
Look at that.
That guy's got a lot of fingerprints on it.
I noticed that.
In that car.
Yeah.
What's the number on that one?
That's S38.
I don't know. I don't have a green sheet in front of me.
S38.
38?
Yes, uh-huh. S38.
69.
Followed by 38-1.
63.
That one is spectacular.
We've got two vets in a row.
I like the white one better.
Yeah, I prefer the white one.
It's got to be a little older, huh?
You
say that one was 61?
You were talking about my first car. That was a 64 Falcon.
Yeah.
Oh.
They've got a 64 Fairlane over here.
Yeah.
That is red, but I mean, that very, very close, very similar body styles, but... red instead of maroon.
Yeah.
I hated that car when I had it.
That's crazy.
You
hated it. I did. You know?
Just because it was old?
No. I loved it. It was a gorgeous car. But I was used to driving, Chevy Cavalier and Ford Taurus
power
and
steering.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, different ways to start, different ways you got to take care of it.
It's like a workout just to drive it.
You know, it's
just
a completely different thing. And I mean, I got tons of attention at school and stuff, but it was one of those things where, you know, got rid of it. I think Dad bought his company Taurus at the time and gave that to me instead, and then took the Falcon back and eventually sold it. And about a year after I got rid of that thing, I wanted it back so bad.
Yeah.
I'd love to get another Falcon.
Oh,
I really would. I don't know if I could fit in the damn thing. But
go Hightower and pull the front seat out.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Here comes another.
We just got a line of vets coming through here.
Yeah. What's that, a navy blue something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little coupe.
63 excites me. I like those 63 split windows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, split windows. Oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, that is probably the most sought after is the split window.
Oh, they had a gray one, too. I guess
they had a silver.
Yeah.
They had a silver gray come through.
I've never seen animals in here. There was a dog just passed.
Maybe a service dog is what I was wondering.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Anxiety dog or diabetes
They have anxiety dogs?
They sure do.
Like they can sense if you're starting to get your blood pressure up, and they come and calm you down or like remind you to take medicine.
Yeah.
They also have them, like they can somehow tell if your blood sugar's dropped, and they'll like come over and then like do something so that you remember to
start licking you in the face like crazy.
Do whatever you need to do. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, really? Dogs are amazing.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I don't know how they train them.
I'm going to get me an anxiety dog. That way, whoever's making me anxious can get the ass.
No. You need it.
No.
You get an anxiety parrot.
Yeah. That's
it. Anxiety parrot.
Chris, I think you needed it.
Last night.
Oh, yeah. Get your parrot on your shoulder. Get a parrot on your shoulder.
Shut the hell up.
That's what you need.
It's just a good excuse
to walk around with a parrot on your shoulder.
That's right.
Hey, hell with you. This is my anxiety parrot.
My anxiety parrot.
Yeah, right?
Look like a pirate.
Sorry, sir. You can't have that bird in here. Oh, yeah?
I have a hard time in crowds.
Yeah.
Arr, my tiny.
Even a little tiny nervous back.
He's got a very tiny little handle on his back. So
walk the plank. Walk the plank.
Have him chained to you like a watch chain.
Nice. Yes.
Go into your breast.
Don't pet the anxiety parrot.
That's right. Please don't pet him. He's working right now. That's
right. He's working.
He's got the little vest on. Working. Please do not distract.
Check that out, where the license plate goes on that thing.
That's pretty cool. Oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, we got Meekum folk taking pictures of
Meekum
folk.
Meekum, there's NBC right there.
That's where it caused a ruckus with the anxiety parrots.
NBC? Hey, NBC Sports.
Hey, NBC Sports. We're over here.
How are you doing, NBC? Yes. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to this show, we just provide some different coverage. That's why they have us here. They have coverage all over the place. They invite local media. They have national media here. It is all live streamed to the internet on their YouTube channel.
Well, I heard they were gonna either have us or NBC Sports, and they said, "Well, why can't we do both?"
And that's basically what happened. there goes Mr.
They're like, guys, we don't have to fight.
Our media man walking by, and you know, but yeah, we did actually get to have John Kramen on a couple years ago, the first Meekum that we did, and it was exciting. We got to talk to him. He is the voice of NBC Sports and Meekum whenever they do the Meekum Auto Auction.
I do believe that was our very first
interview. You get to see firsthand all of the bidding process, the excitement that happens, the raising of hands, the flashing of cards, the devil on the shoulder that goes on from people like Frank Meekum and the other auctioneers that are out there literally making these people bid, making a move, making it happen. You know, because it takes something, you know.
Playing devil's advocate.
They're playing that little voice in your head that's trying to keep you strong. You know, the one that when you're three quarters of the way up Everest and your Sherpa just fell off, the one that's like, you came here for a reason, man. I know your Sherpa just fell off the mountain, but the top of the mountain's right there, and you're going to make it. You can do this. This is what you came here for.
Just a little bit more.
And that's what they do, is to, they help these people that are in doubt as to whether or not they should purchase this vehicle, whether or not they should see this through to the end. They give them the strength to see it through, to say, you know what? This is why you came here today. You flew from across the country to get this car that you've been dreaming about for 20 years. And it's right there around the corner. Don't let it pass you by, man. This is the one moment. This is the moment, the final test. You must have all the resolve.
And we lost Pops to a 1961.
Oh, yeah,
Corvette.
Pops just got up.
He's like, hell with you guys. I'm going to go walk around this car.
I'm going to go look at this beautiful machine.
No, this is fine. This is like 8 or 9 vets.
That
old
is
classic
well,
vets
in a row. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the one that he saw in the book last night that was like, yeah, if I was going to bid. Was that the one that you had said that you would bid on? No, that wasn't
No,
it.
No.
No, that's not. Look at that. Look at that driver's front quarter panel.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a low-quality car, if I have to say so myself.
Really? Well, give it to us, Pop. Yeah. Lay it down.
Well, look at...
Tell people what to look for.
Well, you can see the imperfections.
Oh, yeah, it's actually bubbling up a little bit where the metal parts on the
fender, it's just, it looks like they threw it together.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not lined up right.
Little beads of rust
like some orange peeling or whatever under the...
Your Corvette bodies are fiberglass, so, I mean, there's no reason to have something that obvious in an auction car. I mean, somebody's getting rid of it, but it's still, you take the time to put a fairly nice paint job on there, and then you look down the quarter panels, and they're all wavy and dented. It's just, that...
Maybe it's got a low reserve or no reserve.
Yeah.
They went all that way, it seems, and then kind of didn't
finish. Half-assed.
Yeah, the half-assed view.
You kind of just. And this is one that I loved yesterday whenever I saw it. Lot S43, this beautiful Chevrolet.
Ooh.
I love it with the gold accents on it. It's got the gold grill with the offset gold Chevy emblem on the front.
I bet that bad boy is heavy to push.
It's just beautiful. Just gorgeous with the chrome and gold. And I'm a sucker for the classics like Bel Airs and that kind of stuff. I love me a fin on the back of a car, you know. It really just gets me. And yeah, it's interesting to hear you say that though, Pop, about the quality, because so many people are just so amazed by the whiz bang and what's going on that they aren't necessarily looking inside the finer details. The people I love are the ones that are out there displaying their vehicles, and if you look close enough, they'll actually have a mirror.
Right, yeah, I saw those.
Oh, yeah.
Sticking out about halfway underneath so you can actually see the undercarriage work. You can see that there is no rust. You know, you can see the under part of the engine.
You
got
to have an eye for it, too, I'm sure, and know what to look for, you know?
Yeah.
So to a professional's eye, you know, I mean, they're probably able to pick that off pretty easy or, you know, pretty well.
Yeah, but you got people that come here to auto auctions all the time. And they're well versed.
Right.
Here, I would say probably, I'd say a minimum 50% here that are at this auction have an eye for that kind of detail.
Right.
Like this is a beautiful 57 Bel Air, but look at the chrome above the door.
Look at that chrome.
Even the paint is really speckled on the back end there.
Sure is. I see the speckle.
You know, that's, to me, well, this isn't a show. This is an auto auction. I got to stand back from that.
That's true.
You know, because I'd be very particular about what's going on.
And maybe somebody else is going to buy this car and...
Take it the rest of the way. Yeah.
They can get it at the price that they're willing to.
But that's also what I was saying, though, is that that's what's cool about Mecum, is that, yeah, you've got the high end. You've got the stuff, like I said, like the 71 Cuda that was a prototype, two of them in existence, the only one with all matching serials.
Right.
And that moves for $3.5 million. But then I've also seen cars sell for, like, $9,500.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. we've seen those.
Like we've seen cars sell for as little as like $15,000.
Wasn't there one where like $7,500? Wasn't there one?
There was one last year, and I want to say it was a Ranchero or something like that. Yeah. That went for like $8,500, $9,000, something like that.
Nice. I'd dig me a Ranchero.
Oh, I'd go Ranchero all day long, man. I'd jump on a Ranchero. And they're bringing the Ranchero back.
Go Rancho all day. Oh yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, or not the Ranchero, the El Camino. El Camino is coming back.
Yes, they are. Because
They're coming out with an SST version. They're coming out with a sport version.
Okay.
Of the El Camino again. So that'll be cool to see an El Camino Super Sport out on the road again.
What
just blew my mind the other day, and I'd heard that they came back out with them, and I hadn't seen them, and Amy was like, I can't believe you right now. And we were in the parking lot going to have Julie's key made over at Home Depot, and I walked by this Taurus, and I was like, no way. And I walked back, and sure enough, there it was, like SHO. Written on the side. I was like, dude, it's a Taurus SHO. I heard that they re-released them. And it's so dorky and wrong, but I remember the Taurus SHO when it came out. It was like, it was like the car used in RoboCop 2 and stuff that. It was just
yeah,
like,
but they don't
like
they don't
the
look like they
edition.
Don't look like an 87 Taurus.
They don't look like an 87 Taurus at all. No, but
that
they do look like kind of a souped up Taurus though. So it's nice. It's nice. I was just interested to see one on the road.
This Thunderbird is fine.
And, oh yeah,
it's beautiful.
That just yells, take me fast.
Yeah,
you know, just wants to hop out there and be kind of, in front.
It kind of says, "Hey, you riding me?" And I like the slight pearl inside that paint job.
Right. Yeah, no,
it's just slightly in there to give it this ivory white.
No, yeah, I love that ivory color.
It's
with
really nice. It's like a bone white instead of like plain white.
And that almost like a lot of love in the details.
Like
I mean,
chili,
there's no imperfections
like
I can see.
Chili pepper colored interior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good description. That is like a chili pepper. Aww.
And there's the new souped up smart trike going by. Sorry, letting you push me stroller.
Now we're going to see a few Mustangs.
Like I said, that's what I love. I love seeing the fact that there are families here. There are parents bringing kids. You know, it's a tradition.
Kids, yeah.
It's a tradition. It's something that families go out and do together, that families go out and check
fathers
out.
Fathers and sons.
Yeah.
8, 10, 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Boys.
Exactly.
There's one going right there as we speak.
Right here,
yeah,
right
as we speak.
He's got his nachos and his Meekum hat.
Sure.
Nice. Just, that's right where they belong.
Living.
Just walking around, living.
I don't know. I don't know if I put nachos in my expensive Meekum hat. These things aren't cheap.
No.
Neither
they're
are the
fine.
Nachos.
No, they're not. Nachos probably cost as much as a hat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not the same.
The hat comes with the nachos.
But I will say it's a quality hat.
Should.
And there's some halfway decent nachos. And on that note, folks, we're going to go ahead and wrap this first hour of coverage from the Meekum Auto Auction. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keep tuning in. We will be back. Don't go anywhere.
We're
going to be going out. Keep track of us on the photo bucket. Go to dudesandbeer.com/photos. You can see all the photos that we're taking of Meekum. There's over 100 photos in there already, and the day has just begun. Tons of pictures coming up. We'll have some exclusive interviews with people from Meekum Auto Auction, with people that are builders, people that are sellers, people that are buyers, people that are just walking around. Until we come back, everybody, please, please remember, go download the Dudes and Beer app. It's absolutely free. Tune in live. Chat with us. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back. Take care.
Stay tuned for more live coverage from the auction floor, as well as interviews direct from the Meekum Auto Auction in Houston, Texas, right here on the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams and chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for both Android and iOS devices, available on the Google Play and iTunes markets. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.